My name is Reverend Aaron Fitzgerald, and I have the privilege of serving as one of your associate pastors here at St. Paul's. And this morning, Pastor Judy May is preaching in the open door so that I can be with you all. And it is a delight and a privilege. This morning, we are reading from the Gospel of Luke in the 10th chapter, verses 38 through 42. We just finished the story of the Good Samaritan, and now there is a story where Jesus visits Mary and Martha at their home. Hear this story. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, do you not even care that my sister has left me to do all this work by myself? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Oftentimes, when we read a scripture passage, one of the ways to study that passage and to really dig into what God might be saying through it is to ask ourselves a series of questions. We want to get to know the context of the story. Where are they? What's happening? What comes before and after the story? But also, is there a character or a person in the story with whom you resonate? Is there a person that you say, "Oh yeah, that's like me," or "I wonder what that person was thinking or doing when they said this or this"? Well, when it comes to the story of Jesus visiting Martha and Mary, when I ask myself those questions, I have to raise my hand and say, I'm the Martha. I'm the Martha in the story. Martha is the one who encounters her Lord Jesus with a knock on the door, swings it wide open, invites him in as if he's family, and wants to impress him. It's Jesus, after all. Who wouldn't want to impress him when he comes into your home? So Martha is busy and distracted. She's the hostess with the mostess. She's flitting around the house like a moth to a flame, trying to make sure everything is just so. She wants the food to taste good, the table settings to be perfect. She wants the floor swept one more time and the oil in her lamps trimmed up in case Jesus decides to stay a while. I'd want my oil in my lamps trimmed up too if Jesus was there talking with me and sharing about his life and ministry and what he's been up to these past few weeks. I'd want to hear every word that he has to say and not rush him out the door at the end of the dinner party. Then there's Mary. She's the attentive, devoted, present one who's studious. She's hanging on Jesus' every words and maybe even taking notes. I imagine her, perhaps a bit like a therapist, nodding her head as Jesus talks, sighing sympathetically, yes, Jesus, tell me more about that. I'm the Martha, so I'm the one in this story who has an ability, if you leave me alone for a few hours, I'll do all the cleaning, I'll fold the laundry, I'll get the dinner in the crock pot, I'll get it all started, I'll read a chapter of a book or maybe listen to a podcast while I'm scrubbing the pots and pans. And after all that, when my family comes home or when we have guests over, everything is just so, and I'm ready to entertain and enjoy their company. Mary was the one who sat at Jesus' feet. Martha was the one who was busy and bustling about. And even though she wasn't in the room, in close proximity, I have a feeling that Martha understood that Jesus' presence was important, that she was given a gift just by his knock at the door and his desire to come in. And I have a feeling that while she was working, she heard the things that Jesus had to tell her most intimately. She heard the stories where Jesus was talking excitedly and perhaps raised his voice and spoke with some animation and used his hands to tell the story. She paid attention to those moments. She paid attention. There's a theologian by the name of Meister Eckhart who encourages his people to pay attention. He wrote a long time ago in Europe, but the things that he had to say are still relevant to us today. Because what Eckhart was talking about is the way in which we as Christ followers are encouraged to pay attention to God, who is present with us at all times and in all places, in big and small ways, through the good and the bad and the ugly. Eckhart believed that God can be present in the sacred moments and in the mundane moments of life, and that all of our activities point to God. We can experience God in the midst of each and every moment of our day, in every interaction with people, in everything we say and do. This belief is only challenged by our response to it. How do we, as Christ's followers, allow ourselves, our behavior, our speech, our thoughts, to point to God each and every day? How do we pay attention to the places in our life and the people that we relate to where God is breaking in, where God's presence is being revealed to us? As a Martha, I have to pay special attention to where God's presence is breaking in to my life. Sometimes I can be so overwhelmed, so preoccupied with the things that are on my to-do list, the cooking and the cleaning and the laundry, not to mention the church work, right? That we can be overwhelmed. We can be oversaturated by the things we have to do. We have to be mindful. We have to be present. We have to be self-aware of all the people and all the places and all the things that God is in, that God is a part of and working through us and with us to do in our daily life. In the story of Mary and Martha, Jesus is in their house. He's at their place of residence, sitting in their living room. He's going to break bread with them. He's going to spend time. And so Mary and Martha each have different ways of paying attention. Mary's the one sitting at his feet. Martha's the one moving about. And when Martha comes into the room and breaks into their conversation, she says, "Jesus, Jesus, I'm doing all these things for you, and I wish that my sister would come and help me. Won't you tell her? You have the authority in this situation. Won't you tell her to come and help me?" And Jesus says to her, "Martha, Martha, your sister is the one who's paying attention, who is sitting, who is present, who is sitting side by side with me. Everything that you're fussing with, everything that you're worried about, that's not going to have a lasting impact. I have a whole lot of grace for what we eat and how the table looks tonight and what the state of the house is. But won't you come? Won't you come and sit with me? These things will not be taken away. This moment, this experience, this time together is sacred and holy, just like my relationship with you is sacred and holy." As a Martha, I have to be very intentional and I have to pay attention to the ways in which Jesus is talking to me about how to not be so distracted, how to not be so deterred to go and do and be all the things. I have to be intentional on the days when I have free time to pay attention to where God's love and God's grace is breaking into my life. This week on Friday afternoon, I finished all of my work here at the church, and I had a visit to do out in the community, and it didn't take as long as I thought it would. And so right around 3:30 in the afternoon on Friday, I decided to go and pick my son up early from daycare. It was a hot Friday afternoon, you remember, but one of the things he loves most is to go to the library and play in the children's area and read books with me. I thought, the library is air conditioned, we can do this. So that is what we did. At 3:30, I picked him up a little bit early, and we went and we spent some time together. And as we combed the shelves of the library, he picked out 10, 12, 14. Soon we had 20 books that he wanted to read with me. And then he crawled up on my lap on one of those tiny little couches, and we sat and read for more than an hour. Michael is just 3, and so I know that these moments are fleeting. I know that he won't want to sit on his mother's lap every day as we move into the future, and that he won't always want to read with me. He's a busy, active little boy, just like they're supposed to be at age 3. But when I think about the words in this scripture passage, and I think about what the theologian Eckhart said, that God is a part of all of our activities, that God is a part of the sacred and the mundane, I realize how special that time is with him. I realize that just like Jesus said to Martha, that these things, this moment, this experience can't be taken away. That time at the library is just as important as the laundry that's waiting to be folded at home, as the grocery shopping that I could have done, as the emails I could have checked at the office. In this season, I'm critically aware of how precious my relationships are, and I try hard not to take them for granted. There are certain things that happen in our life that give us perspective, and just as we've buried some dearly beloved people in our life over the last few weeks, Chuck Lingenfelter and Angela Schaefer, I'm aware of how precious life is. A woman my age died of cancer. There are children around the world who are separated from their parents and in need of an incredible, unconditional love. There are youth who are battling depression and making huge life or death decisions in a moment's notice. And so how do we as the church, how do we as Christ followers pay attention? How do we take the time to be intentional about what Jesus is saying to us and how Jesus is working with us and through us in those sacred moments and in those mundane moments? I want to offer a few suggestions this morning. The first is, as we seek to be intentional about being present with Jesus and the gifts that he's trying to offer us, may we strive to be present over perfect. This comes from a devotional book that I've been reading recently by a woman named Shauna Nyquist. She's a mother writing to other young mothers, and she's the one who says, being present over perfect is the goal. God is a part of everything that we are doing, and God is offering us gifts each and every day and every moment. And so being present and being open to soaking those up, living life with eyes wide open so that we might see where God is what we ought to be striving for rather than perfection. And this is the lesson that Jesus was teaching Mary and Martha, his dear friends. that the relationships and the time spent together was more important than the meal or the state of the house. Time together, gathered around the table, is all that mattered to Jesus. He was present, and he wanted Mary and Martha both to be present with him as well. A few years ago, my husband and I were traveling throughout Europe, and we were in Northern Ireland along the coast visiting the Cliffs of Moher. Perhaps some of you have been there. The Cliffs of Moher are a beautiful place where the mountains meet the ocean, and the green Emerald Isle and the beauty of the sky blends together. We had a beautiful day, which was pretty rare for Northern Ireland, where it rains a lot, and it was in the 60s, and the sun was shining, and we were there right about dusk, closing down the park. And as the sun began to set, I decided I wanted to run back to the car and grab my camera and the bag of camera lenses that I had with me. I like to play a little bit with photography. And I ran back to the car. I got all my things out, set up the tripod and changed out the lenses and put the filter and changed the f-stops and did all those things. And meanwhile, I look over and see my spouse sitting on a bench, breathing deeply, simply watching the sunset, taking in the moment and really being present. I took a few pictures and then I walked over and sat with him. I took his hand and I sort of snuggled in a little bit, laying my head on his shoulder. And we enjoyed the moment together, because in that moment, I decided that I would rather be present than perfect. I would rather remember this moment as one where I sat with my spouse and watched an incredible act of God's creation together with him rather than through the camera lens. Now, we have some beautiful shots of that sunset hanging up in our home today, so it still worked. I got both and. I was a little bit Martha, but then I paid attention and was Mary, and so it all worked out in the end. But it's a reminder to me to strive to be present over perfect. The second suggestion I have for you about how you can be intentional about being present with Jesus and paying attention to the gifts that he's offering you are to set boundaries around the things in your life that are not life-giving. There are certain things that deplete our energy, that distract us from what really matters. And while those things do need some time, they do need some attention, we can put them in a little box and we can draw some boundaries around them and say, I'll deal with you when the moment comes, but you're not going to occupy my entire day. You're not going to take all of my attention and all of my energy. In the story of Mary and Martha, I wish Martha had said to Jesus, hey, Jesus, I'm so glad you're here. I've got a few things to do. I'm going to go stir your lentils and pour the wine, and I'll be right back in a jiffy. I wish she would have said that and just set some boundaries around one or two or three things that she needed to do first before she could really be present and focus her attention on him. I wish she had come into the room where Mary and Jesus were talking and gently tapped Mary on the shoulder and said, dear sister, would you come into the kitchen and help me with something? I've got a lot to do, and if we work on it together, I think we'll both be able to enjoy this time. Instead, she came bustling into the room, interrupted their heartfelt conversation, and had a passive-aggressive complaint for Jesus. Martha, 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 Jesus says, you know better. You know better. There are things that matter and there are things that do not matter. And my time with you is sacred and holy. This moment is special and will not be taken away from you. So how do we set boundaries around the things in our life that matter and that don't matter so that we can prioritize, so that we can make space for what Jesus is about, for what he's doing in our life, and for how he is calling us to be in relationship with others? My last suggestion is that you set an intention. Set an intention for how you are going to commit to making the effort to pay more attention. What are you going to do? Make a plan and stick to the plan, right? Prioritize the things in life that matter most, and then give yourself the permission to focus on those things. Put them on your calendar. Take the time. Tap into the things that give you joy and meaning and peace. For that's where Jesus is. He told Martha, those things cannot be taken away from you. Those things cannot be taken away from you. And so set an intention that you will participate in them each and every day. Perhaps you have an intention that you want to set for the remainder of the summer. We have some beautiful days and weeks ahead of us in July and August. And I wonder if there's something about you and where you are in your relationship with Jesus Christ that you want to be intentional about. Is there someone or some ministry or some Bible story that you want to pay more attention to? Is there something you're feeling called to do, called to act upon? Is there someone in your neighborhood or at your place of work or in your school that you need to be reaching out to? How will you be intentional about encountering Jesus in those moments, in those relationships, and tapping into his life-giving presence? I'm a person who does yoga as a form of my exercise and self-care. I go right downtown, and one of the instructors in my class always asks her students to set an intention for our practice, for the 60 minutes where we're going to be doing yoga in her classroom. An intention for yogis is the thing that we are going to think about when our mind wanders during the meditation or the prayer time at the end of class. Or that thing that we're going to go back to when our muscles ache after holding a pose for a few breaths. Or that thing we're going to think about when we need to balance, when we need to focus on not moving in a really difficult pose like tree where the weevils sometimes wobble, but they don't fall down. The intention guides our whole practice, our whole experience of the yoga class for just 60 minutes. But it's so clarifying, it's so helpful, that I think it can translate on a broader sense into daily life and certainly into a life of faith. What are the things that you want to prioritize? What are the things that you want to give yourself permission to focus on in the remainder of the summer? Maybe you're a person who heard Amy Heitman's invitation to serve at Vacation Bible School or as a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you're a person who knows that there is a shut-in who needs to be prayed for and visited, and you'd like to go and offer that care and comfort. Maybe you're a person who has a new neighbor on your street or in your subdivision, and you'd like to take them a meal or a bouquet of flowers and invite them to Summerfest on August 25th. You are the one who, like Mary, is sitting at Jesus' feet today, paying attention and hanging on his every word. May you listen to those invitations, and may you respond with grace. Will you pray with me? Holy God, you are good and you are love. We feel your presence here in this place today, and we know that you are with us in every time and in every place. Your love is always reaching out to us. And today we dare to take the time to pay attention. Help us, O God, to hear the ways that you are speaking to us and to set an intention for the ways that we might take more time to spend with you. May we love, may we pray, may we study and serve in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.